evening, everyone. Can you please give a warm handshake to the person seated right next to you for a while? And kindly greet that person a Merry Christmas to you. Come on. Let me just be one of the first few to greet everyone a Merry Christmas. On behalf of the staff of Victory Dumaguete and everyone of us here, we want to greet everyone a warm Merry Christmas. And you know, the other night, we just had our appreciation night. That was participated by 300 of our volunteers and leaders in this church. We just took a picture for the sake of taking pictures, since you can't see your face in that crowd. We want to tip our hats off to every single leaders and volunteers that we have here in Victory Dumaguete. Palapakan naman natin yung mga volunteers natin. We just hosted a simple dinner with lechon and just made sure that we get to appreciate every single one of our volunteers here at the church. Not just that, I would also want to include the prayer and fasting that we're going to have on the second week of January. So I hope and pray that you're not as early as now. You folks are preparing for that. All right, so this evening we are starting a brand new series called Hark. Tell the person beside you for a while, Hark. All right. Okay, this is basically our Christmas series. We seek to endeavor to look into the lives of, you know, different characters in the Bible. And I hope and pray that we'll get to learn lessons of trust and obedience from every single one of them. That's what we're going to do. Just to be able to make sure that we are all on the right page, I wanted to make sure that we all understand what the word hark means, okay? Hark in the dictionary simply means to what? Hark simply means to pay close attention, all right? So when we say hark, when we start talking about hark in this series, it simply means to pay close attention, all right? For the parents here, that's one way for you to talk to your kids. Instead of telling them, hey, please pay attention, you can just tell them, hark, all right? So it's actually as simple as that. Okay, so that's what we're going to be having for the next coming Sundays. Let me just reiterate what Martin was saying a while ago. This year, 2016, it just so happens that December 25, Christmas Day, and New Year falls on a Sunday. And we do understand some of you are not from Dumaguete, some of you are busy during Christmas, and you will have to be with your family. So this coming December 25 and January 1, okay, we will not have any service here in Victory. Okay, instead, we're going to have a Christmas service. Okay, we're going to have a Christmas service on December 24 and another one on December 31 for our New Year's service. And then we're not going to have our regular 10 a.m., 3 p.m., 5 p.m., 7 p.m. only for those days. Instead, we're going to have only two services on December 24, 4 and 6. Attend any of those. After that, you can have your Noche Buena. And on December 31, okay, you can attend any of those and go home before firecrackers, you know, get to catch with you. But basically, we're going to have two services in both dates, okay? So please remember that. Please don't come here on Christmas Day, okay? You know, in this series called Hark, we're going to be looking at the life, or rather, the obedience, or the way they manage, you know, recipients of the grace of God, okay, the way they manage the message that was basically given to them. We're going to look at the story or the life of Zechariah, okay? I do understand there are three Zecharias in the Bible. We're not talking about the prophet Zechariah. We're looking at the Zechariah who was the father of John the Baptist, okay? After which, we're going to look at the life of Mary, okay, Mary. And after that, we're going to look at the life of her husband, Joseph. And of course, we're going to look at the story of the shepherds, all right? Now, if you have read your Bible, you've read all of their accounts, you would come to understand that all of their accounts, there's one common denominator. It is that all of these guys right here had experienced an angelic visitation. Okay, meaning to say, at one point in their life, an angel or an army of angels actually visited them. Woman, you can honestly say that you're seated right next to someone who looks like an angel. Right? In all four accounts, if you read your Bible, all of them had angelic visitation. You know what? I don't know with you, but to be honest with you, I'm someone who haven't seen an angel, and I don't intend and pray to see one. All right? So I'm fine with me getting to see them when I get to heaven. Okay, not now. All right? But there's a reason why. We're going to find that out later. In any of these instances wherein an angel appeared to someone, okay, in their account, it is always that when an angel would visit them, the angel wouldn't greet them with the words hi or hello. right? Remember when your friends come over, let's say your friends from Butuan come over, your friends from Manila come over, your friends from Switzerland would come over, what would be the first few greetings of Filipinos? Hi, libre, libre, di ba? Ganun tayo lagi, right? So, hello, good morning, good evening. It's always like that, right? Balikbayan, di ba? Yung mga OFW, pag-uwi, saan nakatingin? Sa balikbayan box, hindi sa Perez nila. Okay, but for this, okay, if you would look at their accounts, it's never a hi or hello. It's always what? The greeting is always what? Fear not or do not be afraid. All right? That would always be the first few words that the angel would utter. Now, look, let me just pause for a while. I feel like for some of you here, let me just start preaching now. For some of you here, this might be the message for this evening. Okay, that God is telling you, we're getting into the Christmas season, and God is telling you, fear not or do not be afraid. Maybe for some of you, you're coming here with all anxiety, with all fears, you're bringing a lot of baggages with you. This could be the message for you. God is telling you, do not fear as we end 2016. Amen? All right. But that is not our message here this evening, okay? It's just that is their greeting, okay? Do not be afraid. Fear not, all right? Look at this one. I want to read the account of Zechariah here this evening. Can you turn your Bibles with me for a while to Luke chapter 1, okay? Luke chapter 1. Where's Luke chapter 1? Right before Luke chapter? Perfect, okay? We will be reading from verses 8 down to verse 17. Okay, you can read along with me if you want to. Look at this one. It says here, now while Zechariah was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Verse 11 says, and then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been answered, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. A few more verses. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, because he's going to be a Nazarite. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord, their God. And John will go before him, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. All right, here's what we're going to do. This is going to be a simple message for all of us. We're going to look at this verse by verse. We're going to dissect the verses that we've just read. And let me just start with verse 8 to 10 for a while. Look at this one. It says here, while Zechariah was serving as priest, first thing that you understand, that the person or the character that we're looking at here is not Zechariah the prophet. We're looking at Zechariah the priest. All right? While he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, it says here in verse 9, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter, okay, the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Okay? And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Let me just explain this for a while. Number one, I want us to understand, this story revolves a couple called, what? Elizabeth and Zechariah. Okay? That's Zechariah right there. You have an idea that this man right here is a little bit advanced in age. Look at the person beside you for a while. Hindi tulad niyan, hindi tulad niyan. Okay? Elizabeth and Zechariah right here are well advanced in age. If you would study this text, go a little deeper, you would also understand that the name Zechariah means God has remembered, and the name Elizabeth means God is my oath. Now, I am saying that because to a certain extent, their names basically propelled their destiny. All right, so we're looking at a priest right here. The Bible describes them, I don't have it here, but in Luke chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible describes them as a godly couple. Who am I married here? You're married. Can I see your hand for a while? Anyone here is married? Come on. But parang nahiya kayo, nakasal kayo. Yung mga nagtataas ng kamay, that's the kind of couple that I'm talking about. Godly couple. Not just godly, they're also good looking. Basta taga victory, good looking. All right, by faith. Okay? Now, you would come to understand, looking at that verse, that they have been doing a practice. Okay? They have been doing a practice. Look at this one. He was chosen by what? He was chosen by? Someone chose him. Who chose him? He was chosen by Lot to enter the temple of the Lord. Now, let me just try to explain this for a while. Look. Can you guys please join me here for a while? Mav, Brial, Ronel, please join me here. Let's say we are a group of priests right here in their time. Okay? We are a group of priests right here. Sino sa aming talagang mukhang priest? Aming apat. Ah, sige na, tingnan natin. Oh, sige. Ayan, sige natin, tingnan natin. Suot mo bro, tingnan natin yung bagay. Pwede. Ay, hindi na, okay na. Let's say this is Zechariah right here. Alright, this is Zechariah. So, let's say this is Priest Ronel, priest number one. This is Zechariah, this is Brial. Okay, and this is Fiolo. Now look, we are all priests. We love serving God. Okay, just like many of us here. The difference here is that right now we all serve God. This is just culturally different. Okay, but all of us here, we have the willingness to serve God. Now, here's what we do every year. Every year, we draw lots. It's not like we're playing bingo. Okay, it's just the way we do things. So we would draw lots. So they would draw lots and then they would pick, okay, Ronel, for this year, Ronel, you are in charge in this part of the temple. You folks got it? Papakana si Ronel. Okay? Si Aryon, ha? Si Aryon. Okay? Then I pick, okay, Brial, for this year, you are in charge in this part of the temple. Okay? He's in charge of the roof. Okay? Ikaw bala sa roof, bro? Kaya mo makyat? Kaya mo, right? Now, here's what happened. The lot that fell on Zechariah, the Bible says, look at that one. He was what? He had the greatest privilege of all, which is to what? To burn incense in the altar of incense. All right? Now, look at this one. Look at this one. Here's what I want us to understand. Zechariah, here's what I want us to understand. This is an opportunity for a priest, and this only happens once in a lifetime. This happens only once in a lifetime. Meaning to say, for a priest to serve in the temple, specifically in the altar of incense, will only happen once in a lifetime. So I want us to imagine the excitement of this guy right here. I want us to imagine how excited and how proud his family is. His family is so proud of him, and they're like, wow, finally, at an advanced age, you're finally doing the incense in the temple. All right, so now look. Saan ka punta? May trabaho ka pa, di ba? So, look at this photo right here. This is a photo of Zechariah. That's what he was in charge. Can you just try doing that? Sige na. Okay na. Tama na. So, this is basically his assignment. You guys remember when you were cleaners? Right, you are the Monday cleaner in your classroom, Monday cleaner, Tuesday cleaner. All right, so what do you call that? Monitors, okay? He was given a specific task, okay? And that task was such a privilege. I'm just trying to build, okay, the importance of the task of Zechariah right here. Now, okay, this gives you the thought, okay, that, you know, Zechariah has been given an important task because look at this one. In verse 10, the rest of the people were outside the temple. All right, so meaning to say, this is something that you do exclusively. All right? Imagine this. All of you are here, and you know what? Let's try to put a curtain here, and there's just one person here, Zechariah, doing his thing before God. He gets to do his duty as a priest before God, and you guys are just, are we good? Is everything okay? It's something like that. All right, he was given that privilege right here. Now, here's what happened. Here's what happened. Look at this one. Verse 11 says, and there appeared to him what? An angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Okay? There appeared before him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Let me just talk about angels now. Number one, I want us to understand that you don't worship angels. All right? You don't worship angels. Remember, when John the Beloved saw an angel, what did he do? He fell in front of the angel. And what? He wanted to worship the angel. The angel himself told him, hey, you stand up. We are both servants. You don't worship an angel. Number two, I want us to understand, an angel is not a glorified dead person. You folks catch that? When you die as a Christian, you go to heaven, you don't become angels. Angels are different from humans. We are humans, angels are spirit beings. Okay? Are you folks catching this? Now, he saw an angel, okay, in the book of Luke, the word angel has been mentioned 23 times. Okay, 23 times. In fact, if you would look at this text right here, what is more amazing here is this is no ordinary angel. Okay, this is no ordinary angel. Why? Look, in our current context right now, whenever you start talking about the Philippine National Police, they have a hierarchy. Right? Whether you talk about the Philippine Navy, U.S. Navy, or Philippine Marines, there's always what? There's always the four-star general. There's always the colonel. There's always the second lieutenant. When you graduate from PMA, you're automatically a second lieutenant. But there are also those people who start as what? PO1, PO2. Then they start climbing around. Now, here's the thing. The one that appeared to Zechariah was no ordinary angel. In fact, he started introducing himself. Look at this one. In verse 19, he said, I am what? I am Gabriel. Look at his function. As an angel of God, I stand in the presence of God. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you, Zechariah, to bring you good news. You read your Bible from cover to cover. There's basically just two good angels. I have to say good angels because there are fallen angels, the demons. Okay? There's basically two angels mentioned there. That was Gabriel and Michael. In fact, if you read the book of Revelation, you would come to understand that it was Michael and Gabriel who were leading the charge against dragon. Against the dragon, against Lucifer himself. But we're not going to go into those details. But what I'm just trying to make you understand is this one. It's one thing for an SPO4 to come to you and tell you something. It's another thing when the chief of the Philippine National Police himself will come to you and tell you the same news. For God to send Gabriel himself to tell the message to Zechariah, folks, it gives us a picture of how important and substantial the information is. Okay? It gives us a picture of how important or how significant this information is. So let me just start this off, of course, by asking this question. How significant was this visitation? How significant was this visitation? Now, I'm not here to ask you whether you've seen an angel or not. All right? I would assume that all of us here have not seen one. In fact, if you read your Bible, a lot of the angels, whenever they would appear to people, they would appear to people as humans. They would take the form of man, and they would just try to, you know, be like, yeah, so you don't know. You might be seated right next to an angel. Yeah, so. Here's a question. How significant was this visitation? I want us to grab our Bibles for a while. Get your Bibles for a while. If you don't have a hard copy, just bring out your digital Bibles. Everyone, all of us here knows for a fact that our Bibles are divided into two parts, right? It is what? Divided into what? The Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Covenant and the New Covenant. So what were the two books that separated the two? It was the what? The Old Covenant, the Old Testament ends with the book of? It ends with the book of Malachi. The New Testament starts with the book of Matthew. All right, now look at this one. The difference, or rather, the gap between the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew spans 400 years. Folks, catch that? If you read it in your physical Bible, it's just basically divided by one page. All right? But I want us to understand, if you want to be historically accurate about this, you're talking about 400 years between the book of Malachi to the book of Matthew. Listen, scholars would call this the 400 silent years. 400 silent years. One more, sometimes you feel bad whenever you read the Bible and you feel like God is not speaking to you. Right? You know, sometimes you're having your quiet time, you're reading the book of Numbers, you feel like, man, God is not speaking to me. Tapos one time nag-speak sa'yo si God, ang sabi ni God sa'yo, you brood of viper. Parang, Lord, you'd feel bad if God wouldn't speak to you in your quiet time. Now look at this one. Look at this one. Imagine the nation of Israel, God was silent for 400 years. 400 silent years. God wasn't saying anything. You know what it means? It means what? There's an ongoing 400 years where there is no prophetic word from God. No Elijah, no Elisha, no Jeremiah. None of these prophets. No Davids, no Solomon, none of these guys. 400 years. You know how long 400 years is? 400 years is like what? That's how Spain colonized the Philippines. 300. O, dagdagan mo ng 100. Alright? It's a 300 years pa lang, di ba? The culture of the Philippines became different. You have bars called El Camino Blanco. We've started embracing different kinds of culture. Our face became different, di ba? We had Spanish lineage. And we have buildings like the Spanish Heritage. Look at this one. 400 years, silence. No prophetic word, no miracles. Imagine the pain of 400 years. In 400 years, different nations went to Israel and occupied Israel. Greece was there, Persia was there. And finally, the Roman Empire was there. And then suddenly, look at this one. Suddenly, the 400 silent years gets broken at that very evening. With the angel, with no less than the angel Gabriel himself speaking in behalf of God. 400 silent years, God broke in here. Look at this one. There appeared to him an angel of the Lord. Whom here are doctors? You are a doctor or you are a medical student. Can I see your informal? You're studying medicine. Palapag naman yung mga doktor natin dito. Why did I say that? Look, verse 11, look at this one. The writer of this book is a doctor. He's a physician. As a physician, physicians are into details, right? They're into details. They have to go to the details simply because that's how they were trained. Now look. Luke right here would start mentioning the angel of the Lord. He could have just said something like an angel went up before Zechariah. He said, an angel of the Lord. Why is he saying that? He started including, he wanted to make sure that this is an angel of the Lord. Why? Simply because 400 years of silence basically what? Made people embrace the fact that all they see around them are basically the activities and works of the fallen angels. That's why he was quick to tell people, this right here is an angel of the Lord, finally. This right here is an angel of the Lord. Not just that, I'll tell you. He was into details. He started saying what? This angel of the Lord right here was what? Standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Why in the world does Luke have to mention that? Why not just saying that as old Zechariah was in the altar of incense, suddenly an angel appeared to him. He said, an angel of the Lord appeared at what? At the right side of the altar of incense. There's something that I want us to understand here. Look at this one. I want to show you a layout of the tabernacle. Okay, this is a tabernacle. This is not the temple right here. But you know, it's something like this. Look. The next picture is the shewbread. Okay, I'm just showing you. Now look at this one. This is the layout of the temple. They were drawing lots. Zechariah was assigned to do what? All right? Smoke. Incense. So it was where? It was somewhere right there in the middle. It is not in the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant is. It was just outside. So he was actually in the altar of incense. On his left was what? The golden lampstand. And the Bible says the angel appeared on his right, on the right of the altar of incense. So the angel appeared in where? In the table of shewbread. You folks catch that. I don't have time to go into this. In a nutshell, I want us to catch this. The table of shewbread right here represents God's willingness to commune with man. So the prophetic declaration that God is saying here is this one. I am sending the chief of my angels to basically say that today begins the story of your salvation. When Zechariah saw the angel, okay, here's what happened. Look at this one. Zechariah, instead of being happy, the Bible says in verse 12, he was what? He was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. Now, I don't know with you. I don't think he saw a demon. He saw Gabriel himself. But instead of embracing this man, wow, angel, selfie tayo, bro. Instead of doing something like that, Bible says fear fell upon him. He basically became fearful. That is precisely the reason why the angel, when they appear, they always tell people, fear not. Fear not. Why? Why is that so? It is simply because there's something about their appearance that will terrify you. What's their problem here? Look at this one. Culturally, we have embraced the thought or the wrong notions that angels are cute. You know, that angels are like this big, that angels are babies. You read your Bible, it's never mentioned that way. Angels are always what? Matured. A lot of them are masculine. Look at this one. In fact, Daniel, when he encountered an angel, the angel wasn't something like that. I remember my mom collecting all of these figurines. You know, we have a wrong notion of an angel. Cute, red cheeks, stuff like that. Guess what? I want us to catch this. When Daniel saw an angel, you know what how the angel looked like? Bible says the angel that time, the book of Daniel, the legs of the angel were what? Were metal and stone. His face was like lightning. You folks catch that? That is why it's just impossible for someone to come up to me. This is Archie. This is basically how an angel looks like. It's way so impossible for us to describe the things of God. Someone tell me they resurrected from life and then they start telling me this is how Jesus looks like. I don't think so. That's why if people would see an angel, they would be terrified. That's why the angel would say, hey, fear not. I'm with God. That is basically what the angel Gabriel was saying here. The Hebrew word for angel is malak, and the Greek for that is angelos. Both simply means messengers. So one of the functions of an angel is a messenger. They bring about the message of God. But guess what? That is not their only function. That is just one of their functions. Another function of an angel is that what? They fight for you. Angels basically fight for us. One of the words used in the Bible to describe angel are hosts. Hosts are basically what? It's from the Hebrew word chaba, which means armies. So whenever we start thinking about spiritual warfare, we're actually talking about the armies of heavens. The armies of God himself. So that's why he was terrified. In verse 13, it says here, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Look at this one. Here are the few more things that I want us to really embrace. Look at this one, verse 13. Here's what the angel told him. First words were what? Fear not. Can everybody say that with me? Fear not. All right? Do not be afraid, Zechariah. He mentioned, he started calling his name. Whoa. Angel knows my name. That's one thing that you have to understand. This angel right here knows my name. Look at this one. He said, for your prayer has been answered. Here's my question. What prayer are we talking about? What prayer are we talking about? Is it the priestly prayer that he was uttering while he was doing all the altar thingy? Was it the ritualistic thing that he needs to do as a priest? What prayer? Was it because when he started entering, he was saying all of this ritual that he needs to do as a priest? I don't think so. Look at this one. Here's what it says. For your prayer has been answered, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. So it gives us a picture in verse 5 of this text. The first thing that you have to understand about this couple, they don't have a child. They don't have a child. They've been praying for a kid. No kid was coming. Elizabeth, Bible says, was actually barren. Why am I sharing this? Look at this one. It says here, Elizabeth will bear you a son. I told you a while ago that this was what? How many years of silence? 400 silent years. I want us to go home later and try to study history. Not all stuff in Google is okay, all right? Try to check out what happened during the 400 silent years. Now look, here comes God breaking the silence after 400 years. Now look, what does the catch is? Instead of what? Instead of saying something about the Roman Empire, or King Herod, or the situation of the nation of Israel, he starts talking about the cries of the heart of a couple. Ngayon ka lang, nag-speak, Lord, and you talk about my personal life. I want us to understand this. The God that you worship is a personal God. God could have broken his silence by talking about the socio-political climate of the land. God could have started talking about, there's something that's going to happen in the nation of Israel. No, he started talking, hey, I heard you praying for a child. I want us to catch it. You know, as a ministry, we go out there. Yes, we're dead serious into going to Pakistan, going to Afghanistan, going to different nations. As a church, we start praying for the nations of the world. We start discipling the city. We want all of these grand things. But guess what? God would like to basically remind us, yes, we're going to be doing that. But together with that, I want you to understand, I'm also concerned about your promotion. I'm also concerned about your algebra. I'm also concerned about your next meal. And Zechariah was like, why are we talking about babies here? I don't know with you, but you know, while I was reading this, my spirit would just leap for joy, thinking, man, the God of the heavens, if the angel would have face that looks like flashes of lightning, then how could I even imagine how my God would be like? And yet, this God, who holds the universe in his hands, cares for the cries of my heart. Now, I don't know with you. Maybe for some of you here, I don't know what you folks might be going through. Some of you here, you are in the middle of a disappointment right now. After reading this last night, here's one conclusion that I made. No one can ever talk me out of my relationship with God. Now that I understand that this is how much basically, God knows me. In verse 14, he will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Look at that one. Joy and gladness. Aren't you thankful for the fact that God wants you to have joy and gladness? Of course, God is not saying that he's promising that everything will be all ups. He's not promising that, you know what, everything will be smooth. But this is the desire of his heart. To basically what? Bring up a people to him who has joy and gladness in their hearts. If there's one thing that you have to understand about Zechariah is this one. Zechariah was a disappointed man. He was disappointed. You know why? He was disappointed because he didn't have a kid. And in their time, if you don't have a kid, people would raise their eyebrows on you. What sin have you done, Zechariah? Why don't you have any kid? To not have a kid is considered a curse for that matter. To not have a kid, I mean, how about the priestly lineage that they have from the lineage of Aaron? If we don't have a kid. Now, I don't know with you, maybe this was just a secret between Zechariah and Elizabeth. Maybe when they would talk over dinner, this is a topic that they don't open up to so many people. But guess what? Your unuttered prayers, God knows full well all of those things. Sometimes you're too ashamed to tell people what your struggles are. But guess what? Nothing is hidden before the sight of God. If the Bible tells us that God himself knows the very number of your hair, guess what? He knows the very number of your hair. This is the God that we worship. Zechariah was a disappointed man. But you know what I like about this man right here? He didn't let his disappointment hinder him from serving God. He kept on serving and serving. This is a picture of a faithful man. Look at this one. Some of you here might be thinking, when I get to figure out my life, then I'm going to serve God. When things will fall right in place for me, then I'm going to serve God. Guess what? Even in the middle of confusion, even in the middle of mistake and failure, you can actually serve God. In the course of doing that, in the course of being faithful to God, that's basically when God comes in and intervenes in your life. He was a disappointed man. Here's my question for everyone. What is your current disappointment? Heading to Christmas. It's December, guys. It's December 4. What is your current disappointment right now? What are your frustrations? What are the things that are basically dampening you down? You know what? In church, whenever we come here, we are all smiles. But we do understand, behind those smiles, some of you are looking forward to Sunday to worship God. Because during the week, there's just so many things that's pounding on you. Guess what? People do not know that. But God knows all of those things. He pays attention. He does not slumber. Luke chapter 1, verse 15 to 17. Here's what happened to the son of Zechariah. A few more things and we're going to end. God himself gave the name John to the son of Zechariah. Here's the destiny of an answered prayer. For John will be great before the Lord. Imagine that. Years of waiting. Then God suddenly says, hey, you're going to have a son. Your son will be great before the Lord. Then they start saying, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. This man right here, John the Baptist, is the person that we're talking about. The son of a disappointed man. An answered prayer right here. What are your current disappointments? What are your current disappointments? Let me just briefly talk about Zechariah. The deliverance of the Jews and the salvation of humanity was first announced to a disappointed old man. Look what happened to his son. Zechariah's son, John, would what? He would announce the arrival of Jesus. Remember that? Who was that guy who was baptizing and then Jesus suddenly was walking? And then what did he say? Behold, there's the Lamb of God. Man, that's the son of a disappointed man. Who would have thought? He bare the spirit of Elijah. Remember, the spirit of Elijah. Remember what was given to Elijah? A double portion of his spirit. After 400 silent years, suddenly, a prophet comes up. His name is John. Started baptizing people. Started preaching a message of repentance to prepare the hearts of the people for the Lord Jesus Christ. He broke the 400 years of prophetic silence. He paved the way for the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is my point? Very simple. Think about your current disappointments right now. I want us to understand this. God can use your current disappointments to accomplish great assignments for His kingdom, for His purposes, that His will be done. I don't know what you folks might be going through right now. Maybe your disappointment has something to do with work. Maybe your disappointment has something to do with school. Maybe your disappointment has something to do with money. Maybe your disappointment has something to do with sin. Whatever that is, that's not the end of it. We serve a God who intervenes. We serve a God who comes in when we are at the edge of our situation. We serve a God who's powerful enough, who's all-knowing enough to do something about our situation. Amen.